If you go into a brewery, they can have the best peanuts in the world. They can have the shiniest floor, the nicest bartenders. And if that beer is bad, they have nothing. None of it means anything. No matter how put your cool brewery in the back of a cool old Coke plant, it doesn't mean anything if there's bad beer there.
Welcome to Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. Andy Wiggins joins me this week to discuss his passion when it comes to brewing beer. As he's already indicated, he's not interested in selling dry ground as just some hip spot. He wants the beer to be the driving factor. I met Andy at Dry Ground at 11 a.m. The crew was busy brewing. The tables set up for guests to sit and socialize were pushed off to the side. Music was playing overhead. A hose was stretched across the floor, and the guys were moving throughout the space. The process appeared seamless. They turned down the YouTube, and I turned on the microphone, and asked Andy about finding himself in the position of head brewer. Andy had tried his hand at a number of jobs before landing what seemed to be such a good fit for him. Those jobs, in addition to teaching for 2 years, are quite varied.
I worked on a farm for a year because I had to have some way to make money, and I obviously don't want to, you know, grow corn and soybeans, and so I went away from that. And then I went and worked for Nielsen Rating Company, and I was a regional technician for their equipment, and I've traveled all over 4 or 5 states. And
there was one thing that he recognized as being the difference in his job now.
I didn't have enough freedom of expression, and I really have that now.
Freedom of expression. These are the words that frame how Andy makes beer. In the show, he is going to talk about times when that expression turns out perfectly, and times, well, when it's not come together the way he wants. But it is that ultimate goal, expression, that is a driving factor for him. Andy kind of surprisingly found his way into this profession, and really, he became the head brewer sooner than he could have ever expected. Andy told me about the learning process when he became head brewer.
I'd just gone through very little training. I was extremely intimidated by the process. It's an intimidating process. Any sensible human being would approach this with some trepidation, I believe. It's scary. All that equipment, all those dials, all the ways you can, all the many different ways you can make this go wrong. And I didn't have a lot of knowledge.
Andy recalled early on when he brewed
the first batch of 37 Flood. And I remember that I had gone through all that process, milled the grain, you know, boiled the wort, added the yeast, waited. And when it was finished, I tasted it.
And the verdict of his first effort, brewing the 37 Flood? Well, in Andy's estimation, it
was awful.
This really shook Andy's confidence.
And it was really devastating for me. We'd only been open 8 months at that time. And for our first 10 or 12 months in business, we were absolutely slammed. Half the people in the door had never been here before. They might only get one beer, and that might be the only single expression of Dry Ground Brewing Company that they ever drink, because they're going to walk out and think that we're garbage and it's my fault because I brewed this awful beer. And I don't even know today, having brewed now well over 100 times and read all these books and had all this experience, I don't even know what went wrong. I don't even know. Like, it's almost like there was this manifestation of my lack of confidence is what this beer was. But I remember getting a hold of Ed immediately.
Ed being Ed Musselman, owner of Dry Ground, who also happens to own that cool old Coke plant Andy was referencing earlier.
And I just said, Ed, you have to hire a brewer. I can't do this. I'm going to run this business in the ground. And if it hadn't been for his confidence in me, you know, he told me basically that I was capable of doing this, that it's not abnormal to have some difficulties, that he would come in and taste the beer and let me know what he thought. And the entire time that beer was on tap, it haunted me. Now, we did move through it. Nobody complained. People weren't able to really tell much of a difference as far as I could tell. But personally, I knew it wasn't of the quality that we'd been producing previously, previous to me taking the job. Now, Ed was right. That learning curve turned out to be a lot shorter than I imagined it would be. Not between beginning and mastery, but beginning and having the capability to produce beer that was good. And so I thought, because of that one instance and all that pressure I put on myself, that I was incapable of performing this task. But I was wrong about that. I just wasn't fully prepared. I just didn't have a few pieces of knowledge that were going to increase my confidence and give me the skill set that I needed to really be successful at it. So that one will all, that feeling, that I remember that moment. It's so visceral to me now. It's like you know, when you smell a certain smell and it takes you directly back to your second grade classroom or something like that. I remember that moment so vividly of drinking that beer for that first time and then getting that gut check reaction of, this is awful.
But that led to another story about that same type of beer, the 37 Flood.
The next time I brewed that beer, I remember the day we kegged it, I stayed after late, and I sat at a table and I watched people walk up to the bar to order beers. And this woman walks up to the bar.
Hey, can I get a 37 Flood?
And I'm watching her. She lifts the glass, she takes one drink, she sits the glass down, and no expression on her face. She looks at her husband, she shakes her head as if to say yes, and I see her lips move, and they say,
this is good.
I got up and walked out of the tap room. That was it. When I had that experience, it allowed me to move on past that initial experience of brewing a bad batch of that beer, a batch of that beer that I wasn't proud of. Now I had a person, someone there, to confirm my suspicion that I had, in fact, brewed it properly. I had brewed a good batch of that beer. And that moment with me and that lady, that she didn't even know I was there and she didn't even know I was paying attention, that moment provided me the validation to just be able to get up and go home with a peace of mind and comfort that I previously didn't have.
Andy has come a long way. He is working hard to learn the ins and outs of beer making. At this point in his career, he recognizes that some brewers approach it like an engineer. But for him, Andy, he has a solid grasp on how he sees brewing beer as an art.
The true art, I believe, is developing
what he was able to classify as two ideas. The first includes being able to determine,
does this smell right? Does this taste right? Does this look right?
And the other aspect? Well, it's in
recipe formulation. And so you have to have some understanding of flavors. First of all, what flavors you're going to extract from different ingredients. And then how's that variety of flavors going to work together? So when a chef is putting a dish together and they have arugula and a particular kind of vinegar and a particular kind of honey, they're thinking not about those as individual ingredients, but to think about those as a composite, a whole, and know that what's going to come out on the back end of that is going to be a balanced quality product.
Okay, before you hear this part of the interview, I need to tell you something. It may sound like I coached Andy into using the show title in his answer here, but I didn't. Promise. Anyway, here's Andy answering what he enjoys most about brewing.
The thing I like about brewing beer is creating something. So it's a really beautiful thing, no matter what you do, to go into a process and nothing exists.
It's clear here that Andy is an artist. Creativity is a vital part of this process for him. He goes on to talk about how this creative mindset applies to beer making.
Let's say I taste a beer and it's a particular style of beer. Maybe it's a Pilsner. And I think, this beer's really good, but it'd be so much better if it had more of this or less of this or so on, or use this different raw material, this different product to create it. This is what I would do with that. And so you start with that idea. You start to think, okay, well, if I want it to have these flavor characteristics, I'm going to need it to have this kind of hops and this kind of malt, and it's going to have to be this kind of yeast, and it's going to have to be, you know, it's going to have to be hot at this point and cold at this point. And you build this really complex concept of this final product, what it's going to be, how you're going to achieve just that initial that initial flavor inspiration you had, how you're going to get to that point. And so you build almost like this map of how to do that.
Then Andy shared the thing he loves the most about brewing.
The excitement of developing that new concept, and then the nervousness of, will I achieve it? And then when you drink a beer that is the beer that lived in your brain before you ever put pencil to paper, it's one of the most satisfying things ever.
When I asked Andy about some of his favorite beers, the ones that he's brewed, he said he had two.
Kirchhoff Kolsch, which is a really recent brew, and then also Yardbird, which is a Doppelbach that we brewed seasonally late last year. And we're brewing again today, actually.
He is proud of these because
they didn't have any kind of off flavors. They were balanced. And most importantly, I think they're the two beers that are the greatest expression of my original notion of what I wanted to brew. So I had a beer in my brain, and then I put that beer on paper, and then I put that beer in tanks, and then I drank it, and it was the beer I had in my brain. So it was, for me, really rewarding to see that I had developed my skills to the point that I was able to express them all the way through the process and be successful. Sometimes beers were good, but they were a bit of a surprise in one way or another. But those two beers were exactly the beers I set out to make from the very moment I thought about them. And so I could, like, to me, they're perfect for me, but they, and then also, and the wonderful part is that they became commercially successful. So everyone in the brewery loved them. They have great sensibility in tasting and smelling. Our customers adore those beers. They sell very well, and I get to enjoy them because it's maybe the only two beers that we make that I drink and I don't have something nagging in the back of my mind like, this should be different, this should be better. It's the two beers here that I drink, and I really just enjoy them. It's like drinking someone else's beer. I'm so detached from it because I wouldn't change it. I love it exactly how it is, like my dog or my wife.
A compliment doesn't get much better than that. This has been Something from Nothing, a WKMS podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Each show focuses on an individual who uses their unique skills and talent to create something from nothing. To learn more about Dry Ground Brewing Company, look them up on Facebook or Instagram at Dry Ground Brewing. For more episodes of Something from Nothing, go to WKMS.org and look under the Programs tab. Shows can also be found at the Podcast app, NPR One, and Google Play. Something from Nothing is produced by Chad Lampe and me. I'm your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.